I seem to have milk discharge coming out of the end of my willy whenever I polish it. It's got cum. Oh, I see. That's good, is it? Feels nice.
That's good, is it? I don't know. Alrighty then. Okay, I think we've got the mics adjusted, we've got the sound adjusted, I'm maladjusted. And we're ready to rock whenever you want, Chief.
Are you recording?
I am, sir, yeah.
Let's do this.
3 years ago in 2012, a crack duo, one martial arts expert and surprisingly good mimic, the other a weapons specialist and professionally bearded, were sent to separate recording stations thousands of miles apart to do an 80s and 90s action commentary podcast for a crime they happily committed. Something James Spader told them about that involved an industrial drum of coconut butter hand lotion and a common household whisk. These men promptly created a passion-filled wave of action adoration that swept throughout the internet underground. Today, still wanted by Steven Seagal for making one too many jokes about his expanding gut and knitted hair, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you love action, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you should be listening to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid commentaries. This podcast, people, explodes!
Hello and welcome to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentary Podcast. I am Dr. Action.
And I am the Kick-Ass Kid. And we are exactly what you need in your life. A lot like really floppy titties and hard, large, unwieldy cocks.
Oh, yes.
Yes, hello. And I'll be playing the part of the excessively floppy titties this evening.
And I'll be a cock.
Nice. All right, then, everybody. Welcome back to Dr. Action, the informal action podcast that comes out whenever we fucking feel like it and whenever we have time. I think we've done about 5 episodes this year, but that doesn't mean I love Doc any less. It just means we've been all over the place like a sort of unwieldy pudding.
Yes, flip-flopping away all over the place, but
one you'll might get say like a granny's memories.
Yeah, the episodes will come out when we feel like it. Like, hopefully, next year we can get back more into a routine, but, you know, it's been a bit of a up and down year, isn't it?
It has been a bit of an up and down year, but we've figured it out. We've hacked our way, some might say, through the proverbial wheat field of life, and we've come out the other end a little scratched, a little bruised, a little tarnished, but still standing tall and farting like a trooper.
Oh, yes, like Peter Salas after he's eaten some cabbage.
Right, not unlike Peter Salas after he's eaten some cabbage. You're quite right, Doc, there showing us just how apt he can be. So how have you been, sir, and how have your action movie watching been?
My action movie watching has been very good. Myself has been very good. I watched The Last Boy Scout last night.
Nice, Friday night's a good night for football.
Oh, it definitely is.
We've done a commentary on that film, I do believe.
We have. It's my first time watched since the commentary. That film's fucking classic.
It's amazing. And it has the legendary Rick Dockerman in it.
It does. I believe, in some trivia I've just made up,
yeah,
he was paid $20 million for his 2-minute cameo.
For his cameo of man in dressing gown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that is the second Rick Dockerman sighting in a Bruce Willis movie. One might say that the two best Bruce Willis action movies also feature Rick Dockerman.
He was in Die Hard as well, wasn't he?
He is. He's the electrician guy who they're like, turn off the whole grid. He's like, I don't know that I can do that. They're like, shut it down.
He goes, I can lose my job. He's like, shut it down. He goes, I don't. And then he gets on the phone, doesn't he? He's like, shut it down. I got Robert Davi here singing at me.
I listened to my Robert Davi interview the other day and remembered that he's done a song called A New York Christmas. And the funny thing is that I had done a song called New York Christmas, like, back in 2009. So the fact that Davy and I, and he was like, I'm the first one to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to say anything, Davs, but I think you'll find I was the first one to do it. Okay, so mine compares the reindeer to drunken sex fiends and Mrs. Claus as a hooker underneath the Triborough Bridge. still.
I don't think Robert Davi is in for that. He's too Republican.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, if he didn't know that A New York Christmas was me, had found it online...
He goes, some fucking English scumbag is saying that Mrs. Claus is a damn whore.
No, no, but if he found it, right, if he found it and then copied it thinking no one would notice and performed it on, like, because he was on Fox Morning or, like, Fox with Friends or whatever it was when he performed New York City Christmas, and he should have just... cracked into my song. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would have been that. And then you could have sued him.
Yeah.
Or would you sue him, or would you just sort of say, come on, Robert?
I would say, you can have that one, Davs.
Yep.
Just give me the, what, 10%, 15%? The royalties? He probably did so many copies. He said to me in the interview, he goes, I think it's going to become something of a tradition. I'm like... That hasn't happened, has it?
How long ago was the interview?
I don't know, 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, still time then.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Still time. Still time for the Robert Davi classic New York Christmas to really, really shine.
Yeah, it's not as though Slade has caught on.
Right. No.
Or Paul McCartney.
No.
You know, they've not caught on. Cliff Richard.
No, exactly. Or T'Pau.
Did they do a Christmas song?
I've no idea. I'm gonna ring my titties at Christmas. Because I like to believe that the lead singer of T'Pau had two bells pierced into her nipples.
You know what? That would make Christmas for me. if I found that out, that'd just make my Christmas.
That'd make Christmas. And what if Salis shuffled up with a couple of mallets and played the bells like a glockenspiel?
Yeah. I'm playing glockenspiel with your tits, love.
I'm playing the bells of St. Mary's on your knockers, Gromit.
I like to believe that he just calls everybody Gromit now. Just, it's just easier for him.
It's him and Seagal. Seagal calls everyone Johnny and he calls everyone Gromit.
Johnny and Gromit. That's a film.
Johnny and Gromit. I love the sound of that.
Have you noticed that Steven Seagal on Facebook is putting loads more posts
on there? He's become a lot more active since some arseholes decided to bomb Paris or shoot people in Paris. Seagal's now like, I'm gonna single-handedly take them down. With my flappy hands. Well, maybe not single-handedly, Johnny. I use both hands. Why do people just... I'm confused. I got to take them down with both hands.
Now, when I said single-handedly, I was just talking out my ass. I might need both. Is that okay?
Is that okay, Johnny? I might need both hands. Or is that cheating? I have to tie one hand behind my back. As long as I'm so fat, I can't get my hand behind my back. It hurts, Johnny.
I just put it in one of my rolls.
Today, Steven Seagal strode into Paris.
I'm here to solve the problem.
I'm here to give everybody a gun, because that'll solve the problem if everybody was armed. And I'm Steven Seagal. So... but please... We are in no way whatsoever making light of any terrorist activity. Although I would say this right now, I do believe that laughing in the face of adversity and not letting these fuckers get the upper hand is the only way to do it. And the only way to do it is to go up, moon the terrorists. What are they going to do? You know what I mean? Moon the terrorists and have a flower sticking out of your arsehole.
Yeah, that's a sign of peace. Where
that's
I'm from.
Peace right there. A flower sticking out of your stinky ring.
Stinky ring, the terrorist bastards.
Good evening and welcome to Stinky Ring. I don't know why it would be a TV show, but it is now.
It is now.
It is now.
Hosted by Donald Trump. Trump's come from your bumhole.
I like it there that his go. Is it his daughter that's called like Ivanka or something?
I think it was his wife.
You know, his wife is Ivana, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Ivana Trump a lot.
Which always makes me laugh because it always sounds like Ivana Trump. I just did. Ivana Trump, but I followed through.
Does Trump mean the same thing in America as it does over here?
No. Over here, it means a big, flabby sack full of noxious wind. Oh, wait a minute. No, it does mean the same thing over here. Yes, because obviously since we were last on the air, Donald Trump has taken over in America for the Republican candidacy and is going to be spending the next 12 months making my life a living fucking hell by saying some of the most ridiculously stupid fucking things that have ever been said anywhere.
If everybody in France had a gun, there wouldn't have been this problem.
Yeah.
Rightio.
Yeah,
rightio,
that's
Donald.
The great thing. Well, I done. Think what we need, probably, Donald, you're right. I think what we need is more guns. And that way, maybe some people in the nightclub could have been caught in the crossfire. We could have had an even bigger death toll. That would have been great. My chair makes a farting noise. I don't know if you can hear that, but when I lean back, listen. Hang on. There we go. Do you hear that?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it not do that, but it keeps doing that. So if you keep hearing farting, it's my chair or it's my ass and I'm farting and get over it because human beings do that.
They do.
That was the chair.
Except who doesn't fart? There's got to be a perfect human being that doesn't fart.
Sebastian Coe.
Probably not who I'd have gone with.
No. Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz definitely doesn't fart.
No.
No, not and one of the crankies.
Well, no, I would say that both crankies fart.
No, not the bloke. Not the bloke.
No?
He's medically proved. He's got no arsehole.
Oh, okay. Because the arsehole's the little woman.
Yeah, she makes up for both of them.
She makes up the arsehole.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I'll put it in the little ass.
So, you watched Last Boy Scout?
Yes.
What else did you watch, sir?
What else have I watched? Let me have a look. I have watched... since I can't remember what... I've got a list, but I can't... Mean Guns. Christopher Lambert. I can't remember if I said it.
Christophe Lambert. I am French, and I will fight you, Mario Van Peebles.
Big Game, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, is that good? Isn't that good?
It is a good film.
A lot of fun, right? I reviewed that on the After Movie Diner. Take a listen and fucking support the show via Patreon.
Well, so Strange Days, Ralph Fiennes.
Strange Days. I love that movie. I think that Angela Bassett should have continued an action career.
She should, shouldn't she?
Because I loved Angela Bassett in that. I thought she could have been the next Pam Grier.
She could. She could. She could still be the next Pam Grier.
She could still be.
I watched Bad Boys 1 and 2 because I got them on Blu-ray.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
What you gonna do? I watched Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt. Have you seen that?
No.
It's quite fucking boring.
Not Killing Me Softly with Heather Graham and Joseph Fiennes. The titty film. The film with the titties.
With breasts. I've never seen such a thing in my life.
I don't watch titty films.
Sorcerer with Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider in Sorcerer. Not Warlock then with Julian Thad.
Julian's then. I'm an actor. playing a warlock. Cop Car, Kevin Bacon, watch that.
That's fucking awesome, isn't that awesome?
That's a good film.
I enjoyed that. I've done Cop Car and I've done Big Game on the After Movie Diner. Support the thing on Patreon, motherfuckers.
Tomorrowland with George Clooney.
I've done that on the diner as well and I like that
That's
movie
why I'm
as
saying
well.
It. We are still here. I did watch that as well.
Yeah, I've done that on the diner. Yeah. No, I did that on Diabolique Horror Podcast.
Yes. What else have I watched?
I got to talk to Andrew Sensenig, who says that when he comes to New York, he's going to buy me a drink.
Nice.
He said on Twitter, he's like, oh, good to buy you a drink. And I was like, next time you're in New York, let's hang out.
Excellent.
It was really weird, actually, because Andrew Sensenig, who's the guy with the glasses and the curly hair, right? When he was on the Diabolique, a real horror show... podcast when I was interviewing him. After I'd done with the interview, we were chatting away. It's absolutely true. And he's like, so where are you, John? I was like, oh, it's in New York. He goes, whereabouts do you live? I was like, oh, up in the Bronx. He was like, really? My daughter lives up in the Bronx. I was like, all right. And he's like, yeah, we often come and visit my daughter. She's just out of college, you know. She's doing this, this, and this. And I was like, really? And I was trying to think in the back of my mind, is he trying to set me up with his daughter? I thought any minute he was going to be like, and the guy she's dating is a fucking tard, and I'd like it if you wrestled him for her hand in marriage.
Yeah. I'm going to bring you $5,000, John, and I want you to make it look like an accident.
But
I'll add that.
In all seriousness, Andrew Sensenig also plays a character in the TV series Powers, which was on the Sony PlayStation website streaming thing, which also has Sholto Copley in it and Michelle Forbes and Eddie Izzard and Noah Taylor and a whole bunch of people in it, that, although the special effects are, of course, not as polished as something like a Daredevil or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, it's still a bloody good comic book TV show. One of my favourites. I have it on Blu-ray. Strongly suggest it to everyone listening.
I don't think it's even been shown here yet.
I think you can stream it on the Sony webpage, I think.
Ah, okay. Okay, I'll have a look.
Have a look. If not, have a look on Amazon. It might be available. Stream there.
Season one.
But I liked it. I thought it was bloody good. Because I'm a big Sholto Copley fan, of course.
Of course.
But also...
Of course.
Also, because my boy Sensenig was in it, I had to give it a shifty.
Yeah. Well, you're good mates with him, aren't you?
I'm good mates with him. He wants me to fuck his daughter.
You're going to cut that out.
I might not. I don't think he listens to this show.
Yeah, he does, but he's a fan now. He's like, I listened to your Doctor Action and your kick-ass kid. You said about fucking my daughter.
I was going to buy you a drink and now you get nothing.
You get nothing from me, Mr. Cross.
You get nothing, sir. You stole fizzy lifting drink and threatened to fuck my daughter.
There's no trivia on his IMDb page. So
I probably get an email from him that went, you can fuck my daughter, you know. that's what I was insinuating when I told you where she lived. Do you want her address?
That's terrible. Put the webcam on before you do it.
Why is that terrible?
Though.
I'm a gentleman. I would look after his daughter. I would treat her right.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
I'd take her out for a drink first, you know, drop a pill in her drink, like the way gentlemen do it.
That's how I go on a date.
Exactly.
Sometimes I even say to him, shall I put the tablet in your drink now?
Yeah. Like, at what point do you want to be unconscious and molested in a pub bathroom?
Now when.
And then they say, oh, I think about 8:30. There's no hangover with this new Rohypnol. You just wake up.
And if the girl's ugly, I put it in my own drink.
that was the chair again. yeah, if the girl's ugly, I stick it up her ass like a suppository.
Yes.
Yeah, so Andrew Sensenig, yes. What have I been watching? Well, I watched Spy again.
Oh, I've got that. I've not watched it yet.
Oh, it's good. I liked it. I think it's probably the best thing Melissa McCarthy's done. And of course, Statham is awesome in it. What else have I watched lately? Funny enough, I watched We Are Still Here recently. What other action stuff have I watched? I can't think off the top of my head now. I have, however, tomorrow I will be watching Fast and Furious 6 and 7 back to back.
Yeah?
That's my plan tomorrow.
Oh, of course, Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yep, and I'm all alone. So I'm going to do some music, I'm going to record an album, and I'm going to watch Fast and Furious 6 and 7.
Yeah, that's what the pilgrims wanted you to do.
Yeah, I'm going to eat a big fucking chicken pot pie.
You're going to have a turkey pot noodle. I don't know if they do turkey pot noodles.
They don't, but I could find a pot and just put some turkey in it. This chair is so farty. It just farts. I can't get it to do it on cue, of course.
No.
It's always when I think it's not going to do it, and then it does it.
Yeah.
Cunty chair. So, this is going to be a bit of a different episode, because we're not going to do a commentary this week.
No, we're not. We're going to do a review.
A review. And we're reviewing a movie that's not out yet. And possibly the other reason why I might cut out the cunty bits and the fucking your daughter joke is because I just realised that this is also a review for a movie that the PR company might want to listen to.
Yes, they might. Hello, PR company.
I don't give a fuck. Actually, I don't care. I honestly don't care. This is Close Range. Scott Adkins.
¿A qué piso?
Same as you, asshole.
So, Close Range, starring Scott Adkins, directed by Isaac Florentine, which people will remember from our Cold Harvest show.
Yes.
And, well, what is the synopsis? Scott Adkins plays a guy who was in the military, who was all, like, kick-ass and cool and amazing. And he got, like, dishonorable discharge because he refused to do something that would have led to the death of his men. It's a bit like the Marine, the John Cena movie. Like, he refuses a direct order because it would have led to death of his men. And he saves lives, but he gets discharged. And then he is, or he escapes, or he runs away, or something. He's on the run. I don't know. All of it vague. He's on the rag. It's his time of the month, and he needs somewhere to buy some industrial-sized ass tampons, because the gushing is unbearable.
Unbearable.
That's not really the story. So he's ex-military, That just, like, I love in these action movies where there isn't much script, where ex-military covers a multitude of talents. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could have just been the chef.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Like Seagal. but no, it's just like, oh, so how come he can do all this amazing stuff and do martial arts and jump over cars and ex-military? Oh, well, that explains it then. Because most of the ex-military people I've met can barely get up off the couch. but no, I don't mean that. I love the veterans. Who eat a lot of burgers. So,
so you know when World War II and it's Remembrance Sunday?
Yeah.
And you see those old boys on Normandy Beach?
Yeah.
And they're in the wheelchairs?
Yeah.
And they've got that rug over the legs?
Yeah.
I don't look at them and think, ex-military?
No.
Bit dangerous, him? Bet he could take out Scott Adkins. I don't think it.
No, but they could. One of them.
In the day,
because underneath that blanket is a motorized, highly loaded cock shaped gun that they can pull out at a moment's notice. The Queen allows them to keep it,
That is the Expendables I want to see. Those fuckers on the beach have to take down if somebody started invading again.
Yeah,
that'd be an awesome film.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome, and I would definitely watch it. Well, they're doing the Dad's Army movie, aren't they? Which is a bit like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
With Toby Jones and...
Stephen. Is it Stephen Nye?
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, that's it. Yeah. That's coming out. Don't look too bad, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Scott Adkins is ex-military, can do a whole bunch of kick-ass stuff. His niece has been kidnapped by some very bad men south of the border, Hispanics. The lot of them.
Donald Trump's just tuned in and gone, what?
Yeah, Donald Trump's tuned in and gone, I told you all Mexicans are crime lords. Sadly, in this movie, all Mexicans are...
They are all criminals.
Especially the leading Mexican, Jefe, who has the big cowboy hat, who's like, I will take you down, Scott Adkins. At any point, I just was like, Scott Adkins could eat you, shit you out, and kick you over a wall for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a little portly man in a cowboy hat, being all like, I will crush you.
Yeah, he's not very threatening.
No, and he has a seemingly never-ending line of nephews, nieces, and henchmen to throw at Scott Adkins, all of whom are dispatched. But anyway, yes, yeah, so his niece has been kidnapped because her stepfather does, and the local sheriff, do dodgy deals with this Mexican cartel. And he took some money or took some drugs or took something from the cartel. And so to get it back, they have kidnapped his niece. Scott Adkins goes to get his niece back.
And this happens straight away. There's no build-up.
No.
It just gets straight to it.
Starts off, there he is, kicking the shit out of some Hispanics. And it's...
What? I told you all Mexicans are criminals and rapists.
So he goes in, beats a lot of them up, and as he's stealing the niece, the keychain that he's got to unlock the handcuffs or whatever has a drive on it. A thumb drive that has all the economics of this drug cartel on it, and it's the only place it exists. A little bit careless leaving it on a chain, then.
It has all my porn on it.
This is everything I need. Then why didn't you put it in a safe? I never thought of that. Oh, bollocks. I gave it to my dumb nephew. He's a fucking asshole.
He fuck up.
So Scott Adkins has the thumb drive. They show up at the sister's house. Scott Adkins is hiding in the guest house, which is completely unfurnished, has hay in it, so it's a guest house for horses, or maybe my mother-in-law. I don't have a mother-in-law anymore. Basically, a farmhouse in southern Texas is under siege by a never-ending stream of Mexicans. Everyone dies except Scott Atkins, his sister, and his niece. That's it.
Yeah, so it's a very basic plot, and it's like the makers said, right, we've got a script, we've got some money together, let's go and make this quickly. Got the stunt coordinators in.
It's sort of an odd one for sort of Atkins and Florentine to do, unless, like, I think what Florentine is trying to do is figure out the way to film Raid style, like where you keep the camera rolling and you sort of balletically move the camera in and out and around the action while the action seemingly takes place in real time. It felt like with every fight scene, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, like it's like they're gearing up for an Undisputed Four.
Right.
And it's not, but it's a great action film because the action is fucking superb.
Yeah, I described it sort of like mid-tier Van Damme.
It's definitely like a Van Damme plot. It's very much like Nowhere to Run.
I was going to say Nowhere to Run, except he's an escaped prisoner, isn't he?
Yeah, he is in that, yeah. But the action is just fucking superb. It's a bit like Steven Seagal in a way, because in this, you're never in fear that Scott Atkins is going to get put down.
No, not at all. Although there were some surprising kills. I didn't expect everyone to die the way they did.
Well, what I liked was the brother of the guy who he kills at the start comes along and you think he's going to be the big bad that he has to face at the end.
Yeah.
And halfway through, yeah, there's a great fight scene with him, but he gets put down.
Yeah, there's no real big bad, is there?
No. And there's a kill at the end that sort of, in another film, it would have been, oh, we'll let him live. But no, the main guy, one of the main guys at the end dies. And it's...
Which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to break so many rules with it.
But also the fact that it just went on forever with him looking at the handcuffs or the gun. Like... To me, was that guy bad? Yeah, but he wasn't, like, really, really bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was kind of...
Nah, he's just kind of like the bloke who's just a bit corrupt because he wants to provide a bit more for his family.
Right, so, like, to me... Because what I was thinking is if the authorities show up, right, Scott Atkins is, like, shit out of luck. But if he keeps the sheriff alive and the sister and the niece alive, then they can say, well, these guys attacked our house, killed my husband, and the sheriff and his men...
Saved us.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they can make that stick, even though it would be, like, horribly unbelievable that the sheriff took all these people down. But... You could do that, and that would be a way to kind of like wrap it up and have Scott Atkins be able to ride off into the sunset, which he does anyway, without the kind of police on his trail, you know, without the military police on his trail. But
yeah, because I mean, I was sitting there at the end of the film thinking, how the fuck are they going to explain that?
Right.
Because she can't say, oh, yeah, we did it all.
Yeah, right, exactly. Do you know what I mean? No, like that would have made I thought that's the way it was going to go. And yeah, instead, the sheriff was like, do I disgrace myself in front of my kid? Because the sheriff has this kid, right, that you hear on the phone that he's, you know, it's his only kid kind of thing. Do I disgrace myself in front of my kid by being arrested? Or do I die with my kid loving me? Do you know what I mean? That was kind of the decision he made, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. But it was just, I don't know.
To me, it's a solid 3.5 out of 5 movie to me.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like I said, for the action set pieces alone.
I mean, the action is 5 out of 5, you know what I mean?
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's like Atkins and Florentine doing the raid.
Yes, it is.
In terms of the style of acting. I mean, I was watching it, and I said to you, if someone watches this and doesn't cast Scott Atkins in the remake of the raid, it's you know, they're idiots. Because I don't know anyone else who could do it.
No, or just give him a big fucking movie of his own.
Right, right, right. You know, I mean, I don't want The Raid remade either. I'm just saying if it has to be...
I don't think it is being remade anyway.
If it has to be remade... Well, doesn't Gareth Evans want Scott Atkins? Isn't that who he wanted?
I think he said that's who he wants, but I don't think that he's going ahead now.
Good. I mean, the trouble is with something like that, the time has passed. You know what I mean? There's already been two Raid movies. The third one's not coming along forever. There doesn't really need to be a remake at this point. You know what I mean? No one's clamoring for it. The time has passed, you know.
Why do you need a remake? It's not that plot heavy that you need, you know.
No, but then it's like anything. Like, why are we getting a Life Force remake? It's like, who sat down and went, okay, what mid-80s quasi-sci-fi horror have we not fucked up yet? You know what I mean?
That's a film that definitely doesn't need a remake. There's not many films that need a remake anyway. But
No films that I like anyway.
No, but that's definitely not one that needs a remake. Need a remake. She's pretty much perfect in that.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, Close Reins, there's not really a lot to say about it, to be honest. You know, Scott Atkins is very good in it.
He's awesome in it. I think the acting across it is not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. By the way, the guy who plays the... boyfriend or husband or stepdad or whatever it is who gets shot in the head, he is a sort of country rock singer guy.
I've seen him in a few things.
Who does the song at the end.
Does he?
That really, really, really kick-ass song, which I'll play at the end of this podcast, that I found on... I found it on Spotify. It's called Jake LaBoz or something.
Let's have a look.
Because I'll play the song at the end, but...
Jake Labotz.
Labotz, that's it. Botty Botts Botsworth, that's his name.
He's in Rambo as well.
Yeah. And he does that song that's at the end, which...
Everybody Got to Fall Down. It's cool.
Which I liked a lot. I like this song a lot. I've been standing up like a tree. The birds in the sky made a home out of me. Walking. Do you remember that one, dude?
I do.
I like that a lot. I thought it was good.
I like that. I like that kind of music.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna put it at the end of the end of the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a few things, yes.
I'm going to say that he's going to win an Oscar in 2018.
It does seem like he's got this deal where he goes, yeah, I'll be in your film, but I also have also got to do a fucking song for it.
Yeah, which I've no problem with.
I've got a problem with it.
I like his music.
Could be worse. He could say, I'll be in your film, I've got to get my cock out in it. And then I'd be like, we've got Ivy Keitel, mate. He gets his cock out and everything. We don't need you as well.
I saw Fingers with Harvey Keitel in it recently. And I'll give you three guesses as to whether you see his cock in it or not.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
It's from the 70s. It's called Fingers. It's not full frontal cock.
Is it side cock?
No, well, it's from the front, but it's underneath a T-shirt. You see merely a glimpse.
Oh, nice.
He's having a prostate exam.
Ah, right, okay. Jim Brown's in that as well.
He is. Jim Brown is in it. Not very
good. Is it good, is it?
Yeah.
Is it a good film, is it?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I wouldn't rush out and see it, but it's not bad. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, I don't know. I do like Keitel cock.
Oh, well, I mean, you'd have to freeze frame it, but definitely worth a shifty if you like Keitel cock.
That's a new documentary I'm thinking about making. Keitel cock. All the films that he's got his cock out in. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get all of his 70s work in there. Because he did like to whap it about a bit. So I suppose the fingers are the fingers that go up his arse for the prostate then?
That's exactly what the fingers refer to.
Ah, see.
Yeah, that and the fact he's a piano player. But I mean, I think that's like a secondary thing. I think that's like a metaphor or one of those things.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I know what it means. You know what it means. It means prostate exam.
It means up your bum.
You shitter.
So, no, but I mean, close range. I mean, you know, Florentine is a fantastic director. I think it's directed very well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just, like I say, there's not much to it, that's all.
No, I mean, it's just, it's what you want to watch when you've got, because it's not a long film either.
No.
80
no.
minutes.
Oh, it's not a long film, no.
So, you've got 80 minutes spare, you want to watch a bit of action. Fucking perfect.
You could do worse, my son.
You could. You could. You could watch 80 minutes of...
a Donald Trump rally.
Yeah. Yeah, well, going to a proctologist is better than that.
So should we answer some of our questions?
Let's do that.
All right. So from your question, okay, girls, guys, squirrels and frogs, we're recording later. Speak or ask a question now, forever hold your blanks. I think you mean to say cock. Jason Ritter says butts, you're wrong. Ritter again. He meant to say big unwieldy cocks. Mark Byrne says Walther PPK. Oh, I see. Forever hold your Walther PPK. I see what you mean. Okay. Okay, chaps, here is my question. As this year is almost at an end and there are only a few films left to arrive at cinema, which film or films are you both looking forward to next year? I'm looking forward to potential John Wick and the Kingsman sequels, as they both blew me away this year. To be honest, because I've kind of stopped watching a lot of trailers and sort of looking online for news and things, I don't know what's coming out next year.
The only one I can think of is Captain America 2.
Right. So let's have a look. Let's bring up a list.
John Wick 2, definitely. That's out next year, definitely. Pretty sure, anyway.
So we've got Independence Day Resurgence.
I'll go and see that.
Don't know. Apparently, The Hateful Eight is getting a release on Jan 8. I thought it was getting a release on Christmas Day, is it not?
I think it is in America.
Okay. Let's have a look now. Oh, Ride Along 2. The Lady in the Van. No.
Yeah.
Dirty Grandpa. Didn't that already get released?
Who is it?
Oh, Ip Man 3.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll see that. 13 Hours, what's that? The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Ip Man 3.
Deadpool.
Deadpool, yes. Touched with Fire. No, not really. Wait a minute, they're doing a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel?
Yeah. Triple Nine, I'm going to see that. That looks good.
Michelle Yeoh in it?
Yeah, probably. Bone Tomahawk's coming out for my birthday.
It's already out over here.
All right.
What do we think about...
London Has Fallen.
I'm looking forward to London Has Fallen, definitely. Because I love Olympus Has Fallen. And the trailer did look really good. Really, really good. The Brothers Grimsby.
Yeah. Scott Atkins is in that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, he's in that.
Hello, My Name is Doris.
Yeah. Oh, Ghostbusters.
No, not looking forward to that. And I don't care about Batman versus Superman.
I'll see that. I'm looking forward to seeing Ben Affleck as Batman.
Oh, Barbershop, the next cut. I was hoping they would do another sequel to the Fantastic.
You said that when I last saw you in London. You said, I hope they're doing a new Barbershop film.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Pine in it.
Is there a movie coming out literally called Keanu?
Is there? I've no idea.
Oh, it's a Key and Peele movie.
Yeah. Nah, I don't know. Not heard of it. Don't care about it.
Oh, they're doing a sequel to The Huntsman.
Yeah. Don't care.
Captain America Civil War. So that's two so far. It Man 3 and Captain America Civil War.
There's a few. I'm going to say John Wick 2 being probably the most anticipated. London Has Fallen.
What the fuck? Captain They're making America. The Neighbours 2.
Yeah, because it made money.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck about any of them? Independence Day Resurgence, I want to watch that.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. That's what we all wanted, isn't it?
Born 5.
Yeah, I'll go and see that.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, want to see that as well.
Hail
Caesar, Coens.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that. Definitely want to see Hail Caesar. Oh, Mechanic Resurrection.
Yes, yes. Oh, Point Break remake. The most pointless remake ever.
Scrolling down now.
The Revenant. I think that looks boring as shit.
Jack Reacher Never Go Back.
Ah, is that about Christmas time? That
apparently
about
coming out October 21st.
Oh, nice.
Apparently.
Nice.
Doctor Strange. Yeah. Not sure if I'm interested in that or not.
It's Atkins got is in that as well, isn't it?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not selling me.
No.
Just the fact that it's got Atkins in, I've got to go and see it. Yeah, if you look on Grimsby, Scott Atkins is listed.
Huh.
In the credits. Right next to Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen.
It doesn't look like a particularly strong year, but...
No, it doesn't. But I thought that about this year, and this year's been the best year since 1973.
Really?
No. Taking the piss.
I thought this year had been pretty shitty.
I've enjoyed quite a few films this year, but it's not like my favourite year, 1962.
So Hail Caesar comes out February 5th in the States.
It's your birthday movie.
Deadpool comes out for my birthday.
Is that February 12th?
February 12th, yeah.
Nice.
So I'll go see that, as does Zoolander 2.
I go see Deadpool.
Yeah. Triple Nine. What is this now?
Yeah, Triple Nine that I posted about.
Yeah, Open Road movie.
Yeah,
I think that looks
Kate
Winslet, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, but she said she's not going to do any more sex.
Who said that?
Kate Winslet said she's not going to get tits out now in any films, didn't she?
Well, I wish she wasn't beforehand. But London Has Fallen March 4th.
Mm. I'm looking forward to that.
It's a Louis Leterrier movie, The Brothers Grimm.
Yes. The trailer's actually pretty funny.
And Sacha Baron Cohen. Is it an action movie?
The trailer starts off as an action movie, and then there's a comedy scene. I mean, it don't look the funniest film you're ever going to see, but it don't look bad at all. I'll go and see it. I shall go and see it.
Yeah, so that's it, Mark. There we go. We answered your question. I will edit that into so that there's not so many big gaps. Next question from Dean Garman. If Mickey Rourke still had his old face, would he still... Isn't his face already old? Oh, his old face. Oh, I see.
Yes, yes, yes.
Had his face, his young face, his normal
Angel
face.
Angel Heart.
Would he still have been good in The Wrestler? I've only seen the first half an hour of The Wrestler and I turned it off. What was your feeling?
It's all right. It's all right.
If he had his old face, would it work?
Probably not. Because he'd have been too handsome, you see.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, who cares? Don't care. Not that I don't care about your question, Dean. I just don't know.
No, I don't think it worked. I think he needed to look like that. He looks surprisingly puffy around his jowls.
That's a good answer right there. So Jason Ritter says toaster, because it mine. I saw it first. No idea what the fuck that means, Jason. Have you taken your pills today? And then he says, "I will punch it." you touch it because it's Black Friday.
It's not Black Friday yet.
No.
But thank you.
Yeah, racist.
Yeah.
CJ Jones says, the most surprisingly enjoyable film of the year so far. For me, it's probably going to be either Big Game or Cop Car.
Yeah.
Surprising meaning I didn't know what to expect and I thoroughly enjoyed both of them.
Yes. For me, I went in absolutely expecting to hate Terminator Genisys and came out going, well, I enjoyed that.
It was all right.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. It didn't make me want to put my penis in a blender.
No.
I enjoyed it.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Dry coffee shit.
Why do they keep putting him in stuff?
Yeah, and it's
always... Why do they keep putting him in stuff?
The fifth film in a series. Die Hard 5. Terminator 5. Bastards. But yeah, I enjoyed that. Most surprisingly enjoyable film...
Oh, Jurassic World as well, I'll add to that.
Yeah, also, I thought I was going to love it anyway, but I didn't realise how much I'd love it. Run All Night.
Yeah.
Fucking love that film.
I would say Jurassic World was probably my most surprising, like, big budget thing.
Yeah, because I thought you'd fucking hate it.
So I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It's just a big monster movie.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be a bit shit.
Well, they left it to monsters, which was good. The actors in it were completely secondary.
I do find that the best thing to do now is just go into every film thinking, this is going to be shit.
Yeah. Oh, Mordecai, which, weirdly enough, our New Year's Eve show that we all did where we talked about...
Mordecai, yeah.
Where we talked about...
I bought that cheap. I've not watched it yet. Is it good?
Indiana Jones. We talked about Indiana Jones last New Year's show.
Nah, we didn't really.
No. any more than we've really talked about Close Range in this show. And I really slag off Mordecai. I actually surprisingly enjoyed that movie. I thought it was quite fun.
That's good.
The Boy Next Door? No, I'm kidding. I didn't even see that. Well, I saw a scene from it, but not the rest of the movie. if you know what I mean. What else? So...
I think that's it for me.
Yeah?
That's it for me, yeah. I've only seen those films.
Not really.
Although I did like Legend with Tom Hardy.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. The biggest cinematic disappointment from Mark Burns.
Age of Ultron.
Fast 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like that series anymore.
You're kidding me.
No, I've got it. And every time I go to put it on, I just think, no, I didn't enjoy it. But I'm a Statham completist, so I've got to have it. But I didn't enjoy it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I loved it. They haven't topped 5 yet. But I love
that. No. That's the thing. I don't think they're ever going to top 5 because it's gone into superhero realm where Dominic Toretto can punch through a fucking brick wall.
Yeah, but have you read that the next one they want to do, they're going to scale back on the trying to top themselves thing and go back to, like, telling a different story again?
If they can do that, brilliant. But I don't know.
See, the more ludicrous it gets for me, the happier I am, I think. I like the fact that they drove through a plane at the end of 6, and I like the fact that they dropped a car park on top of Vin Diesel and Jason Statham, and they walked away without a scratch. I kind of like.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, like I say, I do love Fast 5. So
you didn't like 6 either.
No.
Why have we never talked about this?
I don't. I have told you. Night surf chats. Yeah, I don't know. I love the scenes with Jason Statham and Kurt Russell and Tony Jaa, But the rest of him, I'm just sort of like, oh. You know, and I feel bad because Paul Walker died.
Yeah.
But if they don't make another one, I'm not going to give too much of a shit.
Oh, they're making 8, 9 and 10?
Yeah, I thought they would.
And they're doing spin-offs.
Of course they are.
Because Vin Diesel reckons it can be as big as the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
Listen, I actually went... Oh, here's another one. I actually went to see Vin Diesel in The Witch Hunter.
Mm.
Enjoyed it.
You're joking.
I mean, it's fucking awful, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing is, right, if you love a film, that's fantastic. And I know people who...
Did you see it?
No. Oh. No, I stayed away.
One that I thought was a cinematic disappointment, to get back to the question, The Gunman with Sean Penn.
Yeah, that's very, very disappointing. I'll tell you what, the most surprisingly enjoyable film of the year so far, because I didn't think we'd realise how good it was Mad Max.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't surprised by that, but because I'd heard a lot of the stuff before I went in to see it. But
yeah,
it's still surprisingly fucking good. The only thing that lets it down for me is Tom Hardy. The only thing that lets it down for me is Tom Hardy. Mm. Tomorrowland, I was surprisingly happy with that. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. I mean, it's, you know, it to me, it flashed me back to like the time that I first saw, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark or Howard the Duck or, you know, one of those movies, one of those like adventure movies that you used to watch as a kid that just like rattled along and was kind of fun. You know what I mean? And it really reminded me of those kind of movies.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Tomorrowland.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
It's just one of those films that you just stick on and just watch.
I want Clooney to do like a grumpy old Indiana Jones style franchise.
I'd go for another Tomorrowland. Too,
I just liked him being grumpy and old and having this house that like had all these booby traps and stuff, and I loved all that. I thought it was really good.
It just goes to show that George Clooney can pretty much do anything he wants, really.
Yeah, and I liked what he did. I thought it was really, really good, and I can't wait to see him back with the Coens again. Spy, I was surprised by that. That was surprisingly pleasant. I enjoyed that a lot. What else was a disappointment, though? Just scrolling through now.
Should just say that we've both seen Star Wars. That was shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was shit. San Andreas. It was okay, but it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted The Rock to be like, you know, pulling land masses back together and chewing through boats with his teeth, and he didn't do any of that.
No. Was Maggie disappointing for you? I've still not seen it.
Oh, Maggie was massively disappointing. Maggie was by far my largest disappointment in 2015. It was atrocious. It was fucking awful. And if you want to know why I thought that, I refer you to the After Movie Diner episode where James and I covered it.
Yeah, I've not seen it. Because I know you hate it.
Don't bother, dude. Seriously. You know those, like, twatty mumblecore indie movies where nothing happens and the camera, like, flaps around a grey cornfield for 45 minutes?
All of them?
It's that. And I'm right. Not kidding.
Yeah, that don't appeal to me.
Oh, fucking awful. Ant-Man was okay. Wasn't great. Wasn't awful. Was okay.
Yeah, I liked it. It's one of those that's it's a better origin story for him because it's more like a heist film.
Right. Oh, where did you fall on Rogue Nation?
Loved it.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, I loved the shit out of that film. Enjoyed that. That's in my top five of the year.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I haven't done my top 10 yet. There's a whole bunch I still need to see. Trumbo, I have to see that. I want to see that.
Yeah, I want to see that. Kung Fury was fucking awesome.
It was.
Spectre.
Spectre was the weirdest thing for me because watching the movie in the cinema, I enjoyed it up until the last 4 minutes. What?
It's awesome while you're watching it. Then you sort of get out and you go,
yeah. Yeah, you really do. Like, you, while you're watching it, you're like, fuck yeah. Except the last 4 minutes, which suck. The last 4 minutes just fucking suck. And then, because I skip away into the distance holding the lady's hand, because that's what Bond would do. That really fucking sucked balls. But when I came out of it and I started to dissect the rest of the movie, it's also shit. Like, the rest of the movie is stunningly shit. And the action in it is really bad. There's nothing in it that's particularly spectacular at all. The only good fight scene is the fight scene on the train, and that was borrowed wholesale from Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love. It's not the worst Bond film. It's certainly not the best.
No. The worst Bond film is the third and fourth Brosnan ones.
I like World Is Not Enough. I like that.
My
worst Bond film is Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, I quite like the little gay villains.
Yeah, I like them. I could watch them all day.
I'm looking forward to seeing Krampus when it comes out. That looks fun.
That does look fun.
Looks silly and fun. Oh, my God. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip, is coming out the same day as Star Wars. Yeah. I think Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip, might just have the edge.
Yeah, Freya said to me, oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks 3 is coming out. I went, so? But no doubt I'll have to go and fucking see that. I had to take care.
What's incredible is who planned to release a movie on the same day as Star Wars The Force Awakens? I mean, seriously, unless it's a movie that
You've got
features...
some bollocks.
Sorry?
You've got some bollocks to say that. Ah, right. Fuck it.
I mean, unless, like, the other movies that are being released look like they're Bollywood movies, which is absolutely fine, because, like, I doubt there's much crossover. I'm not saying there isn't crossover. I'm just saying there's probably not much crossover.
It might be genius, because you might have, like, their dad's going to take the lads to watch Star Wars.
And the mum's taking the girls to see Alvin and the Chipmunks, the road trip.
It might work out well for them.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
Can you believe that David O. Russell is making another fucking movie with Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro and Bradley Cooper?
I tell you what, the last time it happened, it was a good for him, wasn't it? American Hustle.
It was.
Because that didn't fail dramatically.
Did it?
I think it did. I can't remember. It was up for loads of awards and it got fuck all.
Right.
American Hustle looked like one of those films that they were just sort of like, we've got all the Oscars in the bag.
But what a fucking Christmas day, dude. If I get to see these, I can go see Joy, The Hateful Eight and The Revenant.
Do you like the look of The Revenant?
Sure. Fucking DiCaprio. I liked anything that Alejandro Iñárritu does. I like his movies.
You're definitely going to go and see Hateful Eight then.
Hateful Eight! I have to, dude. He put Tim Roth in a movie. I love Roth.
The thing is with Tarantino, I know you didn't like... Did you like Django? You didn't, did you?
Sorry?
Did you like Django?
No, Django sucked balls.
See, I liked Django, but it's...
Django! But then I liked the originals.
So. Yeah, it was 40 minutes too long.
Yeah, it was about 3.5 hours too long for me.
But you always think with Tarantino... Because he could. The Hateful Eight could just be a fucking masterpiece. It's fucking Kurt Russell with a beard.
I know, Kurt Russell with a beard, right? Getting an actual proper part as opposed to Death Proof, which can go fuck itself. Tim Roth back in a Tarantino movie. Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, it could be fucking amazing.
It's another
Michael
3-hour
Madsen,
movie.
Right?
Yeah, it's another 3-hour movie.
I know. I'm taking cushions and painkillers and a bottle to piss in.
They've already got Parents Guide, Rated R for strong bloody violence, a scene of violent sexual content, language and some graphic nudity.
Nice!
So
I like all that.
I mean, that is Christmas Day, isn't it? Channing Tatum's in it.
Yeah.
Who's he playing it?
Don't know.
Is he one of the Hateful Eight?
Probably one of the guys who gets raped in the scene of violent nudity.
See, the thing is, with Channing Tatum, he'd do that. Because he's up for anything.
He is. I kind of like him, you know.
I don't mind Channing Tatum. He seems like he'll take the piss out of himself, and I respect that.
Oh, I respect it too. So the last question we have, Jason Ritter asks, well, he first asks, what action star threw the first punch on Black Friday? And I'm like, what is this with Black Friday?
He's got a and then he put, if Black Friday was an action film, who would star in it?
Which is the first question he's written, and the whole fucking thing that A, makes sense, and B, is an actual sentence.
If Black Friday was an action film, who would star in it? Let's just appease you, Jason. Let's say The Rock.
No, let's not. Let's say Arnold Schwarzenegger in a sequel to Jingle All the Way, and I say let's get Jim Belushi back in it as well.
Yeah, okay, and let's get Danny DeVito in it as well.
Sure.
As an elf.
And the Rock is in it, but Schwarzenegger beats him up and then takes a shit in his mouth.
Yeah, it's the R-rated cut. Yeah.
What other questions? Do you want to ask the ones that people asked on my one?
Yeah, let me just find it. That's not it.
Kurt Harper and Andreas Beck.
Yes, let's have a look. Kurt Harper, did you guys see Wolf Warrior? Was that movie batshit crazy or what? Scott was pretty badass. I've not seen it yet. I've got it upstairs on DVD.
Seen it either. What is this, Wolf Warrior?
It's a film we made in, is it China? I think he's a bad guy in it.
Oh, but that was my other cinematic disappointment, that I didn't get to see the John Cusack Jackie Chan movie. They never fucking released it over here.
No, they're releasing it. It's on DVD next year.
Yeah, but it's a big... they did it in 3D and the whole thing. Like, it was going to be a big fucking epic. I wanted to go see it. I thought, how fucked up would that be to go see, like, a 2.5-hour Chinese epic movie with Adrian Brody and John Cusack in it? I don't want to see it on Blu-ray. I want to see it in the cinema.
Maybe they passed on it because they thought, Adrian Brody, 3D, nose. that might scare people.
Right.
I tell you what, the Bagman, John Cusack, that was a...
That was 2 years ago, though, dude. That was 2014.
Was it?
Yeah.
Shit, I only watched it this year because it was only released on DVD this year.
It's good, though, right?
It is a very good film. I enjoyed that.
So Wolf Warrior, I don't have that one, do I?
No, you don't. It's been released there on Blu-ray.
Oh, I need to pick it up, then.
Yeah, we've only got the DVD. So, I'm going to watch that. And
pick it up and then we'll answer that question down the road, Kurt.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your question.
John Cross saying, hey, ask us questions, everybody. Lots of you.
Yeah, that's me.
Andreas Begson, will Scott Adkins have a mullet? I think not, but will he be named Boudreaux? And that is regarding Scott Adkins in Hard Target 2.
Right. I don't see him on the set having a mullet in any of the pictures.
No. I don't think he'll be called Boudreaux either. I think it'll be basically a remake of Hard Target, but just calling it Hard Target 2. I think it'll be the same storyline, more or less.
Is Van Damme in it?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if he is in it.
He should be in it.
He should be in it. I mean, it's not even listed on IMDb yet, is it? Hard Target 2.
Wow. So Scott Adkins' Facebook page giving us the very early scoop on that.
Yep, there's nothing on IMDb about it. I'm not even sure have they announced Kindergarten Cop 2 yet on there.
No, are they doing one?
Yeah. Oh, it is on there now. 2016.
What?
In post-production. Don't you know who's in it?
Who's in it?
It's a big action.
Oh, stuff. Dolph Lundgren. Right. I remember now. Yeah.
So I shall. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Quite. I did like Dolph Lundgren in Skin Trade.
That was a good film. I enjoyed that.
It was excellent. Sorry, dude, I'm getting hungry and tired now. So let's wrap up then with a close range. Did you have any more to say on it?
No, not really. I mean, there's not too much to say about it. There's no intricate plot. But the action scenes are incredible. They are really good. I mean, it follows on pretty much from what they did in Ninja 2 with regards to action scenes.
I still prefer Ninja 2, though.
I do, because I think the whole film as a whole, with the storyline and everything, is better. Like I say, what I think it is, it just feels like they're getting ready for Undisputed 4. And it's like, we've got some spare cash to... Let's go and get this made. Let's work out fight techniques, how it's going to look. And
so why have Statham and Scott Adkins not done a movie together yet?
I don't know, because Scott Adkins should be bigger. Scott Adkins should be in the Jason Statham mold now, where he's getting these action films with a higher budget, because he can act, he's got the right look, he can kick ass. I think he should test for the next Bond.
I really do. I think if Bond, if I tell you what, now this is what I think about Bond. It can no longer sustain the plots, right? They're not going to have him go up against terrorism for some reason or other. They've completely fucked with Quantum and Spectre and all these like groups. They've got rid of them all already, even though they could have spun out another 10 years worth of storylines from them.
Mm.
So they got rid of all them instead. And I think the only way to go with Bond from now on would be like a proper fucking kick-ass
action fest,
heavy action spy movie where it's like, here's a bad guy, here's all his henchmen, here's a tight 2-hour kick-ass action fest. Like I say, that the only way to keep making Bonds, as far as I'm concerned, is to make them all like License to Kill. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. Well, see, the thing is, Tom Cruise is doing great spy films, I think.
Yeah.
But
that's because Mission Impossible is allowed to be a little camp at times. Like, they're allowed to do the humour, and they're allowed to do the masks, and they're allowed to do the flashy cars. Like, there's really no limits on it. Whereas with Bond, the trouble with Bond is, and especially my problem with the last two, is that they're imposing, like, Craig and
Mendes
are imposing too much of what they want in the movies, and it's just really fucking annoying me, because it's like, it's not what the rest of us want. Like, I want a Bond movie to be a Bond movie. I want it to have girls and gadgets and cars, and like, I want it to be a little fantasy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I think there's a difference between Daniel Craig seems like a real sourpuss.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to do another one.
Well, fuck off then.
Yeah, and then you've got like, and you've got Tom Cruise, who makes Mission Impossible, and they go, "Do you still enjoy doing them?" And he's like, "I love hanging off side of fucking aeroplanes."
Yeah,
I think that's the difference. He wants to do them.
I completely and utterly agree. And I've hated Craig as Bond, mainly because of that attitude, and mainly because of this idea of making Bond quote unquote realistic or gritty or dark means that it can't have any humor in it, and it can't have, you know, like, oh, it's this idea that drives me nuts, that Mendes went, no, I don't want any gadgets. Gadgets are stupid. But at the same time, had a fucking ridiculous gay Hispanic villain who drops trains on people in a way that he could never possibly have organized in a million years, and who spends 2 hours and 20 minutes trying to kill M when he could have walked up behind her in her house and shot her in the face. Like, it's stupid.
Say that, I did like Skyfall. My favourite, I did, you see, the thing is, I really did enjoy Casino Royale. Quantum of Solace, I really liked the action. Skyfall, I really enjoyed.
Quantum of Solace is the only one that's a Bond movie. The other three are shit. The only one that's a Bond movie is Quantum of Solace, and I don't care whether people like it or not. It's got great kick-ass action. It's got a villain that's actually... Like, of all the villains in all of the Bond movies that Craig has done that are supposedly meant to be realistic, the only one that's actually realistic is the one from Quantum of Solace, because he's the only one who's a massive businessman who is buying up natural resources so he can sell it back to the poorest countries at a profit, which is exactly what business people do. It's the only realistic... spy level storyline in the whole fucking lot of them.
Well, the next time he's going up against the general manager of Tesco.
I mean, as John pointed out when I was talking to John about Spectre, just what exactly is their plan? He's like, this is technology, Bond. And what are you doing with that? I am spying on you, killing this girl's father. So what does that mean? Why? Like,
it's like the...
I have built this entire network of billions of dollars just to get you, Bond, my brother. Why? Go up behind him in a shower with a pickaxe and just kill him. Like,
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a pissy villain, isn't he? You've done all this just to get at me. Yes, I don't even remember who you are. Oh, you fucker. You ruined my life. You made me kill my daddy.
It just, the whole thing was awful. Because just as we got to his lair in the desert, and I was like, yes, come on, I've sat through so many crappy action sequences. Like, why did he get in a plane to chase some jeeps down a mountain? Why? What was that? And then what did he do when he was in the plane? Get shot at and nothing else? Like, it was awful. Anyway, he gets to his big hideout in the desert, and I'm like, yes, let there be ninjas. Let there be a fucking volcano.
Yeah, and it was fucking... everybody's day off.
Right, and he sat around, he went, I'm going to torture you in a little chair with needles. Oh, and I'm like, oh, fuck. So he breaks out of the chair after all this thing, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, didn't he just, like, disable his motor functions and, like, erase his memory? Oh, no, he didn't, apparently. That was all a lie. Bond is somehow superhuman and immune to what he's talking about, so it doesn't matter. Okay, he breaks out of that, and I'm like, yes, let there be ninjas. Come on, let them fight a whole bunch of... just fucking take the whole thing down. And Mendes blows it up in a second, and then it's cut to the next three endings we're going to have to the movie, because this movie needs three endings. I'm like...
Back to London.
And just to say how much I enjoyed Mission Impossible 5 again, that finished in London was much better.
It was much better. Although, weirdly enough, I don't remember anything about Mission Impossible 5 at all.
I remember the bike chase finishing in London, the start with the plane, but I remember coming out going, I could have watched another hour of that.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed it. And I've got it arriving on Blu-ray soon.
Is it out already?
No, it's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Not out here yet.
No. But it's a damn good film.
It is. It is a damn good film. I quite agree. It's a fucking awesome film. But yeah, no, I mean...
And Daniel Craig was far too old for her.
You see now, I liked her. But again, what a waste. He goes, I don't have to teach you anything, do I? And then she's fuck all. In fact, she comes up to him and goes, I think I might be in danger, Bond, help me. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you were some kick-ass chick who knew how to do guns and fucking everything else. Like, oh. That's why Carrie Lau will always be the best Bond girl, because she picked up a fucking shotgun and blew a hole in the wall of a bar.
Yeah, and also what I didn't like was they made such a big fucking song and dance about Monica Bellucci. Oldest Bond girl. She's the oldest Bond girl. She's in it for two fucking scenes.
Yeah.
She's in it for two scenes and goes, the gems, they will come and kill me. So I'll give Felix a call. You never see Felix.
But James, do it in my ass. It is so much tighter than my wrinkly veg.
Now, that would have made it the best Bond film ever. I can only come if you stick it in my shit, the James. Mendes is going, Oscar, I'm going to get another Oscar.
Let me put on another scarf.
And why did you say about doing it in a shitter, Sam?
Because my puns are all about realism. And Monica only likes it in a bum-bum.
In a bum-bum. It was awful. It was just... It was all awful. What was the other thing that was awful about it? Everything. Just everything.
I don't mind. See, the thing is, I do, like I say...
Oh, no, the opening... was really good.
The opening was good.
Really
See,
good.
I did enjoy it, and I will watch it again. But I think it's just left
I'll
a bit
watch it
of sour...
again, just to complain about it.
Yeah, just there's just sour taste of Daniel Craig sort of being...
A dick about it.
Dick about it. It's like, do you know how many people would kill to play James Bond?
Yeah, just shut up, you fucking...
Take your fucking...
Blonde Nancy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he must get like 50 million a pop now for playing Bond. I'll do it.
Yeah, I'd do it.
I'd do it for 50 quid.
I think I'd be an excellent Bond.
I think I would.
I think you and I could do it in like an oversized tuxedo and we both...
Two-headed
like, Bond.
Yeah, do it like how to get ahead in advertising.
Yeah, or we do it in a fat suit like...
Russ Abbott.
Russ Abbott used to do it.
Yeah.
Do a fat suit Bond. Mm. I used to love it when Russ Abbott put on the fat suit.
Did you see that video I posted of him doing the lie detector?
No, sketch? I didn't. No.
Yeah, it's fucking genius. You can't beat Russ Abbott. I've tried.
He's got a force field.
He has got a force field. It's called Bella Enberg.
The stick bounces right off her when you try and beat him. But we're coming up on the hour and a half mark, so we should call it a day. But I would suggest all us action fans go watch Close Range. And just in general, I say support Scott Atkins in everything he does because he should be bigger.
He should be bigger. He should be Bond.
I would go for a martial arts Bond. Do you know what I mean? Like, give me like... Old school Bond villains where their plan is just to take over the world by erecting a giant diamond-filled hat or something.
Yeah, it's always got to be like diamonds. Oh, we're using diamonds to cut into the Earth's core.
Yes, I'm using diamonds in my wife's asshole and then reflecting the sun off it, and then I'm using that to pierce the UN building. You know, whatever it is, right? And the villain has... a million henchmen, all of whom are ninjas.
Yeah.
And he has a lair in a fucking moon crater or something. And Atkins as Bond just has to get in a moon module, fly up there, and then kick the shit out of a million ninjas.
Yeah, get Gareth Evans into directing.
Oh, can you imagine a Gareth Evans directed Scott Atkins starring Bond movie? I mean, Mendes... I just fucking... He would prolapse. Like, there would be nothing left of him but a giant, flappy waste of skin.
There's no realism. But the bottom line is, Sam, Bond just took out fucking 12 ninjas.
We don't seem to understand, Sam, is the last thing I want to do is see Bond sit around and talk to people and express his emotions. I want to see him put a gun in someone's mouth and blow out the back of their head. Did you just see Scott Atkins do that to 15 ninjas in a row? Did you?
No, I didn't.
Mendes.
No, because he's too quick. You see, because he's a proper fucking hard man.
Yeah.
He's a killing machine.
I would even at this stage go for a Steven Seagal James Bond movie. Anything.
Well, I've always said that.
I've always thought that Seagal... reeks of Bond.
Yeah.
he's the right height.
He's the right height. He's got the hair.
He's got all his own hair.
Yeah, and also...
And also Bond. All of someone else's hair. What?
And Bond
yeah.
knows how to enjoy a good meal.
Yeah, he does. He knows all about gourmet chefery.
Yeah, I think we do know that Steven Seagal likes a meal.
He likes three.
Yeah. Gourmet or not.
He likes three for one meal.
Yeah.
He likes three meals for one meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the first James Bond that you see. He goes, I'm taking you to a buffet.
Yeah. I need to have Johnny on set. But Bond doesn't have a sidekick. I never go anywhere without Johnny.
It's like, you know, at the end of Living Daylights when he goes, I know a lovely restaurant in... Where is it? Calcutta?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Maybe, I know a Denny's.
I know a lovely place I can get a live boar to chew on.
What about me, James? Oh, you're not coming with me.
Oh, fuck you, I'm going to punch you in the neck. Set fire to you. That was it, dude.
That's it, we're back.
We're back. Let's try and do a commentary. Maybe actually next week, December 2nd, I might be able to do something.
What day is that?
Don't know.
That is the week today, isn't it? It's the 25th.
Is it Wednesday?
December. December. Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? December 2nd. It might be a day when I'm at the cinema. I might be going to see True Romance with Claire at the cinema.
Oh, okay. They got a retro screening?
Yes, part of the BFI screening. They're only doing one showing in Leicester. And that's one of my favourite movies.
Of course. It's where I got the name for the after movie dialogue.
Yes, it is. It's where I got the name Clarence for my first daughter.
Nice. Lovely to talk to you, sir. Thanks ever so much again for doing this, and I'll edit that into something at some point.
Excellent. I shall be enjoying listening to that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've been standing up like a tree. Birds in the sky made a home out of me. Walking this road, trying to carry this load. Everybody got to fall down. Say everybody got to fall down. Sometimes everybody got to fall. Everybody got to fall down. Sometimes, thank God, everybody got to fall. You know that your best friend this always got to fall. Everybody that you ever know, and everybody that you ever seen, they got to fall. Everybody got to fall down. Sometimes everybody got to fall. Everybody got to fall down. Sometimes, thank God, everybody got to fall.
Right now!
Gravity is a mighty thing.